Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Russia's President Vladimir Putin accused the West this week of using the Ukraine conflict to be done with Russia and claimed that Moscow had withstood Western sanctions. Now, tomorrow marks the one-year anniversary of Russia launching its war on Ukraine. I'm joined now by Bill Browder, who once ran the largest foreign investment firm in Russia, but subsequently became known as Putin's public enemy number one after he was expelled from the country when his own lawyer was murdered in 2009. And Bill is also the author of Freezing Order. Bill, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Nice to have you on the programme again. Can we start with the sanctions? Because I know you've said before that the Russian economy is suffering. $350 billion of central bank reserves there have been frozen. Wealthy oligarchs have had their assets frozen as well. But we hear from Russia, they claim that their economy shrank only by 2% last year. Vladimir Putin saying sanctions have not succeeded and will not succeed.
Well, first of all, I think that anything they say, you have to discount heavily because everything that comes out of Vladimir Putin's mouth is a lie. Obviously, the sanctions are having a dramatic effect. If you have 1,000 Western companies pulling out, if you have all Russian banks frozen from doing business with the West, if you have all this money, central bank money frozen, all the oligarch money frozen, of course sanctions are going to be having an impact. And so, you know, it may not be the impact that we're hoping for. We may not have bankrupted Russia, but of course sanctions are having an impact. Having said that, there is one huge elephant in the room, one huge loophole, which is that while all this stuff is being frozen, Russia continues to sell between $500 million and $1 billion a day of oil and gas to the West and to the East. And that money is used to then pay for missiles and soldiers to kill Ukrainians. And so as long as the West continues to buy Russian oil and gas, basically Putin will be able to continue to afford the war. Mm-hmm. And that's the big loophole. That's the big problem.
So if those sanctions are not working, the West only has itself to blame.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a question. Do we want to have higher oil prices, or do we want to have Putin continue to kill Ukrainians? I would say that we should probably, suck up our gut a little bit, let the oil prices stay high, and just completely cut off Russia. Mm-hmm. And if we did that, if we cut off Russia, and then he didn't have the money, then he physically wouldn't be able to continue to do this war. And this war, the longer it carries on, the more damage it does, not just to Ukraine, but to the whole world. There's so many different places that are affected by this. There's the food prices for all sorts of wheat and other stuff. There are refugees flowing into many Western countries. There's all sorts of stuff, byproducts of this war, which would stop if everybody stopped buying Russian oil and gas.
Yep, difficult to do given the energy crisis that we are now in, and the pace of developing non-fossil fuel energy sources is not matching demand. We're just not there yet.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so that's their big strength in this whole thing is that. And the other thing is that even if we, and I say we meaning the United States, Europe, UK, Australia, et cetera, even if we all come together and want to do something, you still have a lot of countries which are basically not on our side on this thing. You have China and India and South Africa and Turkey and the United Arab Emirates that are either on Russia's side or sitting it out. And as long as they do that, then it's kind of hard to hold the whole the Russians' feet to the fire in this thing.
You have an interview here in The Currency this morning, and you say there, the Irish government is wobbly on military aid and financial aid to Ukraine. Now, I'm sure the Irish government would challenge that. What do you mean by wobbly?
Well, I wasn't meaning to single out the Irish government. I'm singling out all Western governments, which is that everybody has sort of said, at the beginning, you remember a year ago, they said no weapons for Ukraine. And then after the invasion, they said, okay, we'll give them bullets and helmets. And then after that, we said, well, actually, maybe we'll give them artillery. And then after that, we said, well, maybe we'll give them long-range artillery. And so on and on and on, tanks a couple weeks ago. And if we had just done all this stuff at the very beginning, there'd be so much smaller loss of life. There would be so much of a better situation for the Ukrainians. And the Russians may have really been pushed back much further. The fact is that everything is always drip feeding out there. And this is not even, it's not like by accident. This is a conscious decision that's being taken by Western governments, pretty much led by the United States. And everybody is basically saying, we don't want to escalate this conflict.
Yes.
And they're saying, we don't want to escalate this conflict. Well, Putin is escalating this conflict. Mm-hmm. And every time he hears us saying, we don't want to escalate this conflict, he smiles, because that's just appeasement talk. It doesn't matter what we do. It matters that he wants to win this war, and he's going to continue to throw men and artillery at this thing. And the only way to stop him is by giving the Ukrainians what they're begging for, what they're asking for, so that they can fight him off. It's not us escalating. It's him escalating.
Do you not accept, though, that it is a very difficult balance to strike, supporting Ukraine in their efforts to fend off Putin and not starting World War III?
Well, the thing is, we're not going to start World War III. We give the Ukrainians everything they need. It's not as if Russia is going to all of a sudden say, okay, we're at war with NATO. I mean, they can barely handle the Ukraine, which was considered to be not even a very, serious army before, and Ukraine is pushing them back. There's not a chance in the world that Russia would challenge NATO right now. If they did, they would be gone in 3 days.
Mm-hmm. I just see that there were plans in Russia to test this intercontinental missile called Satan 2. And sometimes you would wonder, because Putin is so unpredictable, whether he is just waiting for a NATO country to do something so that he can then move this on. Is that what he wants to do?
Absolutely not. He understands that he would be decimated. First of all, nobody is going to send off a nuclear weapon to a NATO country, because then NATO countries will send a nuclear weapon back at him. That's called mutually assured destruction. That's what's kept the world safe for the last 70 years. Now, if he wants to do something conventional, he understands that he just doesn't have the capacity to fight NATO. It's just an impossibility. And so, you have to understand that this guy is a thug. He's a bully. He makes lots of threats, but most of these threats he can't back up with real action. And so for him to be, saying, I'm pounding his chest, I'm going to test out this ballistic missile, you better not provide weapons to Ukraine, that is just, kind of bluster and bullying. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's Ukraine is not attacking Russia. Ukraine is defending their own territory. Why should we not give them what they need to defend their territory?
So taking all that into account and looking at where we are now, tomorrow is the first anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Do you think there's any prospect of a peaceful negotiated solution at this point or at any stage in the coming months?
No, I think there is no chance of any negotiation that will lead to peace. And I say that because Vladimir Putin can't negotiate. He can't compromise. He can't back down. He never has. It's his any kind of compromise is a sign of weakness in Russia. Any sign of weakness would mean that his power would be challenged. And if he's not in power, he goes to jail and he dies. So he's not going to back down. He's going to double down, triple down, quadruple down. That's what he does. And on the Ukrainian side, it's the same thing. The Ukrainians have been murdered, raped, tortured, children taken from their families, and they're not going to back down. And so there's no chance of a negotiation. The only two options in this war is either Ukraine wins and pushes the Russians out, or Russia wins, in which case they then move on to the next country, which is Estonia, Latvia, Poland, or a NATO country like that, in which case we have a 1,000 times worse problem than we do right now.
So then, following on from that, the only solution in your mind is to arm Ukraine to the point where they can push Russia back and end it.
It's the obvious answer to this question. It's the one Russia dreads most, and it's the one that could actually work, because the Ukrainians are defending their freedom, they're defending their lives, they're defending their parents, their children, their wives, and they will push if they're given the tools to do it, they will push the Russians out.
You know more about this than most, sadly. Putin's references in that very lengthy State of the Nation speech the other day to so-called traitors' bill. He said Russian authorities could ramp up the pressure on dissenters. Traitors, he said, must be brought to justice. But he said he would not unleash a witch hunt against dissenters. Now, what do you make of that?
He already has done a witch hunt against dissenters. I have many friends who are opposition people opposed to Vladimir Putin who are sitting in jail. Others are dead and others are in exile. There's no opportunity whatsoever for anybody to in any way challenge Vladimir Putin in Russia. It's completely not possible.
Bill, always good to talk to you. Thank you very much for your time. That's Bill Browder there, who's the author of Freezing Order.